ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय First text of chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Canto number 3. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Atate Samprabhakshami Tatvanam Lakshanam Pritak Yadviditvabhamucheta Purusha Prakritayar Gunai Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Atate Samprabhakshami Tatvanam Lakshanam Pritak Yadviditvabhamucheta Purusha Prakritayar Gunai Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Personality of Godhead said, Ataha, now, Te, to you, Sampravakshami, I shall describe, Tatvanam, of the categories of the Absolute Truth. Lakshanam, the distinctive features. Pritak, one by one. Yat, which. Viditva, knowing. Vimucheta, one can be released. Purushaha, any person. Prakritai, of the material nature. Gunai, from the modes. Translation, the Personality of Godhead, Kapila said, My dear mother, now I shall describe unto you the different categories of the Absolute Truth, knowing which any person can be released from the influence of the modes of material nature. Report by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one who understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, only through devotional service. Bhaktyamab abhijanati. As stated in the Bhagavatam, the object of devotional service is Mam, Krishna, and, as explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to understand Krishna means to understand Krishna in his personal form with his internal energy, external energy, his expansions, and his incarnations. There are many diverse departments of knowledge in understanding Krishna. Sankhya philosophy is especially meant for persons who are conditioned by this material world. It is generally understood by the Parampara system or disciplic succession to be the science of devotional service. Preliminary studies of devotional service have already been explained. Now, the analytical study of devotional service will be explained by the Lord, who says that by such an analytical study, one becomes freed from the modes of material nature. The same assertion is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Tatomam tatvato gyatva. By understanding the Lord according to various categories, one can become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. This is also explained here. By understanding the science of devotional service in Sankhya philosophy, one can become free from the modes of material nature. The eternal self, after becoming freed from the spell of material nature, becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. As long as one has even a slight desire to enjoy or lord it over the material nature, there is no chance of his being freed from the influence of nature's material modes. Therefore, one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead analytically, as explained in the Sankhya system of philosophy by Lord Kapiladeva. So you better pay attention to this chapter. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Atate Sampravakshami Tatvanam Lakshanam Pritak Yad Viditva Bhamucheta Purusha Prakritaya Gunai. The Personality of Godhead Kapila continued, "My dear mother, now I shall describe unto you the different categories of the Absolute Truth, knowing which any person can be released from the influence of the modes of material nature." Sometimes devotees find it difficult to get absorbed in Sankhya philosophy. It's not their inclination to be highly analytical, and maybe become a little discouraged, thinking, "Oh, I can't wrap my mind around all this analytical stuff. What's going to happen?" Then there's the other side. There are people that are not at all devotional, and they're heavily analytical, and they love the analytical stuff and don't pay attention to what the purpose of it is. And softness of heart doesn't happen, and analytical just keeps going, and it becomes very dry. So we need to kind of move somewhere towards the middle and appreciate what the analytical portion is for, because Krishna gives it in Bhagavad Gita and Kapila gives it here in this third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. And in other places, the analytical portion is presented. It's important. What's the relationship between Sankhya philosophy and Bhakti Yoga? Prabhupada is stating it very clearly here. It is generally understood by the Parampara system or by disciplic succession to be the science of devotional service. So, the science of love sounds contradictory, or science of devotion sounds contradictory, but it's not. In a very soft manner or diminished manner, Prabhupada has said, the preliminary message of devotional service has been already presented. Now comes the science. So the science, by that, it's the analytical study of, because the other is also a science, it's not unscientific, all of what's been described, and what's been described as very elevated stages of devotion. That's the previous discussion. Glories of devotional service that's about devotional service, and this is about devotional service. The relationship is that's simply describing the elements of bhakti, of devotion, and now is the lakshanam, the different categories, or what is lakshana means characteristics, features, categories. So like further breaking it down. Specifically breaking down the elements of matter, and distinct from the elements of matter are the spiritual realm, the soul and supersoul. So distinguishing between the soul and the supersoul. Is that necessary? The purpose of the Sankhya philosophy is the eternal self, after becoming freed from the spell of material, is to become free from the spell of material nature. There we go. By understanding the science of devotional service, what does that mean? In Sankhya philosophy, one can become freed from the modes of material nature. That's the purpose. Become free from the modes. So, we're not that, we're this. It's an analytical, at least in the beginning, an analytical approach of discerning who we are, distinct from who we aren't. Like illusion is who we aren't. Distinguishing who we are. And by the strength of that distinguishing of who we are, the impact, the influence, the conditioning force of material, the modes of nature diminishes, or one can become freed. And then the eternal self, after being freed from the spell of material nature, becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. Or we can hear the glories of the personality of Godhead with clarity, not with filters, not with the modes of nature filters. So, supposing you don't spend time with the Sankhya philosophy, the illumination, the light, the power of the messages of Godhead will still act, but they won't act as fully transparently as if one who has distinguished himself from matter as spirit soul. So it's, we need all the help we can get, right? I mean, I know I do. So it helps. In the Bhagavad Gita, the first place where we hear the term Sankhya is in chapter 2. Right? Chapter 2, text 39. Krishna says, now I've described Sankhya, now I'm going to describe Buddhi. And what's the Sankhya section? It's the soul, we're not this body. There's the soul, and there's the covering of the soul. And we're the soul, and we're not the body. And all the, you know, the properties of matter, it's in the distinctive properties of the soul. It's immutable and changeable, cannot be moistened by water, cannot be withered by the wind, cannot be cut by any weapon. It's not material. Earth, water, and fire can't affect matter or spirit because it's of another category. Lakshanam. Category. Tattvam lakshanam pratak, one by one. So with a clear understanding of this is matter, this is spirit, and we're not in the matter category. Illusion is through the agency of false ego we accept that we're matter, and matter matters and spirit doesn't. And off we go into illusion and all varieties of material existence. So to cut that mistaken identity, Sankhya is there. It's not just an assist or a step in the bhakti process, a possible step in the bhakti process. It's a component of the bhakti process. We'll just read the two sentences again. Preliminary studies of devotional service have already been explained. Now the analytical study of devotional service will be explained by the Lord, who says that by such an analytical study one becomes free from the modes of material nature. Now the earlier part is not just like the divisions of matter and spirit, it's other divisions. What are some of those other divisions? As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, to understand Krishna means to understand Krishna in his personal form, with his internal energy, external energy, his expansions, and his incarnations. So it's Krishna Tattva. Krishna means all these things, and understanding Krishna means understanding all these things, because these things exist, and if we don't have a clear understanding of how these things exist in relation to Krishna, we're going to be bewildered by matter, because it's one of those things that, like, it's everywhere. Everywhere we look and smell and hear and taste, it's in all directions. There's matter. So the strong tendency would be naturally identify with it. This is our home. This is me. Without spiritual understanding, without that second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how is one going to understand what is one's duty, etc.? We'll continue in illusion. So it's in a simple form in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, a slightly expanded form in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, a vastly expanded form here in the 3rd canto, Bhagavatam. And in other places also, this analytical study, just as Prabhupada is going in the beginning part of the purport. It's Bhagavad Gita reference, Bhagavatam reference, Chaitanya Charitamrita reference. In the Bhagavad Gita reference, by devotional service only can I be understood, Krishna says. And in the Bhagavatam, the object of devotional service is Krishna. So it's like saying the same thing in reverse order. Devotional service alone can allow one to understand Krishna. Krishna is the object of devotional service. And then Krishna means all these different things. So then the preliminary of how to engage in devotional service to Krishna is present. Now it's going into the science of it, or the analytical study of it, specifically matter and spirit. Because in what's the process of achieving spiritual perfection in Satya Yuga? Meditation. So what does all this philosophy have to do with meditation? Like understanding spirit and matter and the different categories of matter. Seems like, you know, a waste of time, or like off the track, or superfluous. What's the relationship?
One must clearly distinguish the object of meditation.
Yeah. Hey, there's lots of people that are out there doing meditation. I met somebody at WashU who's saying, yeah, I'm doing meditation. One is like visualization. So you visualizing what? It's just like you visualize something and then you fix your mind and that's something that you visualize. Like, you know, just keep the mind from wandering, you meditate on something that you like. That's whatever that is. Okay? And then another is breath and following breath and keep your mind on your breath. Okay. Then there's the candle, and then there's like a blank wall, and then there's a mandala. It's like, you know, bringing the mind, meditation means bringing the mind to a concentrated state. But concentrated upon what? Hint, the subtext is it's impersonalism. But when the mind becomes somewhat more peaceful than the roar that it's used to, it feels good. So people like meditation because it feels good. And in that state, other sentiments of the quality of goodness become more possible, because the mode of passion is just crowding that out. People are so busy with fruitive stuff that their mind is so restless they can't be at all peaceful. And in that, so there's another mode of goodness, feeling good from those methods. And then, you know, other nice Buddhistic teachings like compassion. So that's, that becomes the emperor, is strive for compassion. So your meditation is to feel good so that you can then have good mode of goodness thoughts so you can be compassionate. And then that's like, that's your religion. I saw one pamphlet, it was at a time when Chaturabha was here, and he had different groups put out their literature, and so there was a Buddhist group, and it's like, you know, big letters, like a pamphlet, brochure, but like in a box. Compassion is religion. Like, that's what they wanted you to know. What supports that? It's some of, you know, just the objectless meditation, calming the mind. And they use the language. Just like this language of slowing down, it's like, it's a Buddhist thing. Or it will take, I was specifically thinking about this morning. It's a Buddhist thing to be present in the moment, but our being present in the moment is to be present with Krishna. Or slow the mind down. One devotee is using that language now regularly. From somewhere he got the language. Slow the mind down. And then he can be peaceful and start to sort things out. But for devotional purpose, it's to take shelter of Krishna. Our method is simply chanting. Now, it's difficult to chant because the mind is, and the modes of nature are acting. Like, you know, the modes of nature are acting. And those modes of nature aren't us, and the mind that's influenced by those modes of nature aren't us. And what's the antidote? The ultimate antidote is the power of Krishna, the power of Nija Sarva Shaktis, the power of Krishna's holy name. I'm thinking to have a little section on this when I have our next japa retreat, like a little more developed. Not so much like bashing other ideologies, but they're the other ideologies people like because there's some segment of the truth, but it's impersonal. And this, similarly, the Sankhya process, some people like it. They're like obsessed with analytical tendency. It's just like their bhav, their thing. But at the other end, if it's not Krishna that is drawing one to meditate upon, then it's very dry. And it leads to impersonalism. Be like, you know, just being numb to understand what I'm not, very analytically. But that's not our purpose. And so devotees shouldn't be intimidated by analysis because Krishna is at the other end. The purpose of that is to strengthen the intellect, because the intellect is the factor of discrimination, that which is analyzing things. And then let me take shelter of Krishna alone. And that's where the Sankhya teaching goes. He's going through this process of the fundamental principles of material nature, this chapter 26. And after that analysis, then there's the soul. And then there's the soul meditating upon the Supreme Soul and absorption and meditation upon the Supreme Soul. On that internal basis, one is engaging with one's spiritual identity in service to the Supreme Spirit. That's like very elevated. We can't do that. We're best enabled to do that by practically engaging our senses and connecting this field of matter with the supreme source of that field of matter in the spirit of serving Him in devotion. So it's automatically accomplished, and it's not artificially accomplished. It's a very natural and very appropriate process, especially for the sage, and the power behind it, the fuel in the turbocharger engine is the chanting of the holy name that can carry us to that effective end. This is the Bhagavat mark. Strength, spiritual strength from hearing and chanting nicely. Gradually awakening our dormant Krishna consciousness, subsiding as that awakens, subsiding as the misconceptions and the modes of nature, you know, inversely proportionate kind of dynamic, and then the attraction for hearing about Krishna, hearing Krishna's name in pastimes, etc., becomes stronger and stronger. So this section of the Bhagavatam and Krishna conscious life is important for the purpose mentioned. It helps one become freed from the modes of material nature. By such an analytical study, the Lord says, right in the verse, one becomes freed from the modes of material nature. Yad viditva, by knowing this, vimucheta, one becomes released. Released from what? Gunai, prakatir gunai. Which modes of nature? Who is eligible? Just be a person, a living being. Purusha. Purusha means enjoyer, so it's like the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul thinking of self to be the enjoyer. We can be assisted in our attempt to become released from that trying to be the enjoyer of material nature through this chapter 26 of Canto 3 Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev's teachings. It'll help us keep our mind fixed on Krishna if we take it up properly. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was meditating on the things you said on the process of Sati Yoga, like the meditation. Like there is no any connection with the devotion, that it looks like just with the meditation they can realize the law. So there is no devotional service involved in it. So I was like, when I was meditating on it, I remembered a slogan, the Canto 1 of Chapter 2 of Bhagavatam, like that, Shraddhadhanamaya, Jnana Vairagyam, is that slogan relates to that knowledge?
You're making a statement. I don't understand what the question is. If the microphone is making it harder to understand what you're saying, can you do without the microphone? You have a good, strong voice.
So I was wondering, the process which involved in the Sati Yoga, just the meditation.
Yeah.
There is no activity like devotional services involved in it?
No, there's devotional service. I explained that. In their meditation, they're doing devotional service. On the platform of the soul, meditating on the Supreme Lord, they're engaging in devotional service. Not with their gross senses, in the process of meditation. While meditating. That's elevated, huh? His teaching, Kapila Dev's not just teaching meditation, he's teaching devotional service. He's the personality of Godhead teaching devotional service through that process of meditation. Because bhaktyamam avijanati, it's only through devotional service one can understand him. It's devotional service. But, you know, a kind of devotional service that we don't have the capacity to access. Can you do that? No, I can't either. Something else? Okay.
I was just wondering if you could help right? How one can talk to someone who's on the edge between sentimentalism and genuine love, because they are soft-hearted at that point, but it's, of course, more in the sentimental realm. To encourage them to stay soft-hearted, but get the clear picture of redirecting who that's for.
I'll just have them read Prabhupada's books. I don't want to disappoint you with my answer, but I find that's pretty effective. It's connecting sentiments to the right object. Krishna. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada spoke in the same way, that how many translations of Bhagavad Gita have been in the world today, say in America, how many different translations in English, and how many of them have produced even one devotee? Mm-hmm. And from Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, how many devotees? So, from somebody that has whatever their prior condition is, some sentiment or something, how did you know, let that be directed to the object, to Krishna. And through association of devotees who are carrying bhakti, so that, you know, connect the sentiment to bhakti and the bhakti to the object. Anything else?
Maharaj, it's a everyday struggle, it seems like, to just realize that I'm not a body and soul.
Keep struggling. It's worth it. Don't struggle, you have another struggle. And, you know, the most effective means of carrying out that struggle starts with being attentive while chanting. The example that Prabhupada gives is that self-realization and God-realization, they occur simultaneously, like the rising of the sun and seeing oneself. When it's totally dark, you can't see yourself. Even you have a mirror, you can't see yourself. But as soon as the light of the sun comes, you can see yourself and see the sun. So that realization of the self different than the body, our intellect is not so powerful. So by analytical study, it's not likely to happen so quickly. But by devotion, it's likely to happen. And that will strengthen our intellect and all of our faculties through the power of Krishna, power of Krishna's holy name. So that's our, it's not just, you know, you, it's us, it's the denizens of the age of Kali. Our faculties are worn down, they're very diminished by the influence of Kali. So this very special Kalir Doshinad Hey Rajan Yasti Eka Mahan Gunad Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. In this age of Kali, it's an ocean of faults. But there's one good thing, the chanting of the holy name. And then, following behind the chanting of the holy name comes your reading of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and that strength, spiritual strength, the strengthening of the soul enables you to understand what you otherwise wouldn't understand, or will help you realize that you're not the body. And, you know, it's progressive. Be patient. A it's the qualitative way that you engage in chanting that's like going to help you most effectively get that realization, or you know, in the broader sense, as the verse is saying, being detached from the modes of nature. Yadviditva vimucheta purusha prakritaya vinat. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite katita yarta prakashante ahatmanaha. Unto one who has implicit faith in both Guru and Krishna, all the imports of the Vedas are revealed. Keep going. Yes.
Pramaj, I was going to request if you could expand on this one statement in Prabhupada. Prabhupada says that as long as one has even a slight desire to enjoy a lot of material nature, there's no chance of this being free from the influence of nature's material modes.
So what's your question? That's the statement.
So that, yeah.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Say the same thing in a different way. What brings us to the material world and what binds us to the material world is desire to be the enjoyer of matter. And so the impersonalists have this impossible, imaginary conception become desireless. Prabhupada's explanation is the soul by nature has desire, so you can't extinguish the soul. You would have to extinguish the soul to extinguish desire. You can't extinguish desire. It's artificial. So, you know, become a tapasvi and do all the radical austerities that, like, you know, just like burn out the attraction to be an enjoyer of matter, fire in the middle of the heat of the summer and immersed in water up to your neck and ice cold water in the middle of the winter and parch the elements of the body. In language of Bhagavad Gita, like, go into the mode of ignorance and don't feel anything, and then, you know, you don't have any desire. In different ways of trying to do, but it's desire. So what's the solution? Desire to serve Krishna. To awaken that desire to serve Krishna. And that takes care of that sentence that you have a problem with. Direct desire to the lotus feet of Krishna. Whatever that is. And if it's not appropriate, you leave it aside. But whatever it is, direct it to the lotus feet of Krishna. Yad Kuroshi, Yad Asnasi, etc. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.